Subprime is not neutral.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Fallout from the subprime mortgage mess has landed again in Europe with a thud. Swiss banking giant UBS is writing down the value of its holdings by $3.4 billion. Much of that is in securities backed by subprime loans. This will produce the first quarterly loss for UBS in 9 years. That's not all. The head of the bank's investment banking unit and its chief financial officer are out, and 1,500 jobs in the company's investment banking unit will be cut. The news on UBS has sent European stock markets lower. In Asia overnight, Japanese stocks edged up on word business confidence unexpectedly held at a two-year high. In the U.S., it's the first trading day of the fourth quarter, and the Dow is only about 100 points below its record high. This morning, we'll get the numbers on nationwide manufacturing. The automakers will report September sales tomorrow, and Friday, of course, it's the employment report. In addition to the loss at UBS, the subprime crisis devastated one of Britain's largest mortgage lenders, Northern Rock. And now there are reports that two U.S. private equity firms are considering buying Northern Rock's portfolio of home loans. We have more from London and Stephen Beard.
The two American funds, Cerberus and J.C. Flowers, are said to be keen to start takeover talks. According to reports, they want to buy Northern Rock's portfolio of mortgages. The U.K. Treasury has reportedly given the all clear. Northern Rock is effectively under government control. The central bank has lent it $16 billion and so is calling the shots. No one at the Treasury was available for comment, but a sell-off of Northern Rock's assets does seem likely. The chances of it surviving as a separate entity are remote. The prospect of an American takeover, however, is raising analysts' eyebrows. Northern Rock's own mortgages are reckoned to be perfectly sound, but the company ran into trouble raising money because of the American subprime mortgage debacle. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The EPA has a delayed approval of a controversial fumigant to use to fight fruit and vegetable diseases. It's called Midas, and it's intended to kill insects, weeds, and soil-borne diseases. Last week, more than 50 prominent scientists sent a letter to the agency saying Midas is too dangerous. And for the moment, the EPA has agreed to address their concerns. Let there be light, so long as it's not coming from a traditional light bulb. This week, the EPA begins a nationwide tour to promote the benefits of energy-efficient bulbs. And Congress may make dim the days of the traditional bulb. Here's Sam Eaton from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
Congress is expected to vote on its broad energy package this month, and the bill will likely include a provision that could change lighting as we know it. The aim is to phase out energy-sucking incandescent bulbs in favor of more efficient models. Compact fluorescents, for example, use 75% less energy. And instead of an outright ban on traditional bulbs, environmental groups and manufacturers are pushing a more market-friendly solution. Lowell Unger is with the Alliance to Save Energy.
We want to set a performance standard that will save electricity and reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and then let the manufacturers compete on how they can best meet it.
Unger says not only would that save consumers billions of dollars in energy costs, it would also spur a new wave of lighting innovation. Everything from energy-efficient makeovers of the old incandescent bulbs to super-efficient LEDs. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business, offering working professionals a global perspective through innovative executive MBA programs, or at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. By The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Congress takes up a bill this week to forgive some of the debt owed by developing nations. In exchange, these indebted countries would safeguard some of their natural resources. These are called debt-for-nature swaps, and they're on the rise. Worldwide, they've generated more than $1 billion for conservation. And it looks like more of them are in the works. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
In a debt-for-nature swap, a developing nation gets a break on what it owes the U.S. In exchange, the country agrees to use some of the savings to protect the environment. Since 1998, the U.S. has negotiated 12 debt-for-nature swaps, mostly in Latin America. Those deals have generated $136 million for conservation and saved 50 million acres of tropical forests.
This has been one of the most successful environmental programs in the history of the United States.
That's Representative Mark Kirk, an Illinois Republican. He worked on the original Debt for Nature legislation as a congressional aide. Now he's pushing Congress to expand the program to include coral reefs. Environmentalists applaud the measure. Carter Roberts is president of the World Wildlife Fund. He says intact ecosystems offer immense benefits to the world economy.
You look at coral reefs as the nursery for the world's fisheries that feed a billion people. You look at forests not just as places where jaguars live, but as part of the solution for combating climate change.
Developing countries now see cash in conservation. Ecuador recently offered not to drill for oil in the Amazon if the international community ponied up the projected revenue from that oil, $3.5 billion over 10 years. So far, there haven't been any takers. But Columbia University's Jeffrey Peel says Ecuador has a point.
We're all going to benefit from conservation of this forest. It will mean, you know, the probability of a hurricane hitting Louisiana is slightly lower. Sea level will rise just a little bit less. So everybody all around the world is going to gain a bit from this.
Ecuador, however, only earns money from its forests if it drills in them.
And a forest is an asset you can only generate income from if you liquidate it.
There's a growing movement to change that equation. The Coalition of Rainforest Nations is pushing the UN to award carbon credits for forest conservation. That way there will be more money in conserving forests than in chopping them down. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.